I started to become the national coordinator of the Vineyard in the Philippines last year. And looking back, it is actually because I didn't know that I could say no. So we went through a democratic process as, secret balloting. And I didn't know that the two other leaders that were nominated said no. And I was nominated, the only female nominated. And I didn't know that I could say no. And I guess I'm it. So this is my first year being the national coordinator of the Vineyard in the Philippines. And but I'm going to tell you a story of how I started in ministry in the Vineyard. I was 19 years old. And I was around during the planting of the first Vineyard Church in Davao. I was under the leadership of Kuya Alex. He's my senior pastor. He's right here. Raise your hands, Kuya Alex. So I was just, very fresh out of college. I felt called into ministry, so I decided to work full-time in ministry. The Lord crossed my path and Kuya Alex's path and helped him plant the very first Vineyard Church in Davao City. But I guess before that, I wanted to introduce my family. This is me, my husband, and our two children. Gabby, my daughter, is 15-year-old, and Caleb, my son, our son, is 11-year-old. They're back at home. So going back, we started the church, and our heart is very missional. We just wanted to see the kingdom of the Lord expand. At the very start, I thought that the Lord is going to use me overseas, because I have this perspective that if I do missions outside of the Philippines, I'm kind of, there's kind of glamour on that. But if I stay in the Philippines, maybe it's not so glamorous doing missions inside the Philippines than doing missions outside of the Philippines. But I felt that the Lord specifically told me to stay in the Philippines and stay in this city and work under the leadership of Kuya Alex and help him plant the church and help him in however way the Lord open in many different ways that the Lord will open the door for me to be part of that. And so at I just would like to make an introduction first of the Philippines. I'm going ahead of myself. So the Philippines has three major islands, Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. It's a country in the Southeast Asia with more than 7,500 islands. And it's pretty small, actually. It's just about 116 square miles, but with a lot of people in it, with around 117 million people, 120 to 180 languages, 110 indigenous tribes and 13 Muslim tribes. So it's a pretty very exciting country. So right now there are two Vineyard churches in Luzon, up north. In the Middle Island there are 28 churches, including the house churches, and 27 churches down south where we are. So as a older teenager, young adult working with Kuya Alex, the very first verse that really stuck to my mind, this was the verse when we started to minister among the urban poor and among the rugby boys. Rugby boys are those young kids who sniff rugby to be high because they're really hungry. Is this from Isaiah 58:12, which says, "Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings." And through the years, the Lord has really taught us, gave us wisdom on how this translates into the context where He has planted us. And 2 years into this new church plant that we planted among the urban poor in the city with young population, very poor people, we started going up to the mountains to explore how we can plant a church to the mountains. We didn't even think, like right now, knowing more about missions, we didn't think even that we don't really have the money, because, I mean, the people at church are like people, so rugby boys, you know, those who get high from rugby, prostituted women, people from the urban poor. But we just really love the Lord. We want to plant churches. We want to see the kingdom come. And so 2 years into planting this first church, we went up to the mountains and plant our very first church in the mountains, in this one village among the Ata tribal people where there is no church there. And so you can see the kind of the level of excitement and adventure that we get to experience in going up to the mountains. And during that time, I was even bringing my son. I was holding him behind my back and walking through the. Oh, can you go to the next picture, please? The previous one. Yeah, so that's a landslide. That's supposed to be a 2-hour walk to this village and ended up to be a 7-hour walk because of the landslide. So this is the typical transportation to go to the mountains. You'll see the tribal youths. They were just going back home from our fellowship there. And that is Paolo, our very first Ata tribal pastor. And not only that, we started church planting, not only in this village, but the surrounding villages. You know, we started doing mission trips to the mountains. So we did, every time we go up there, there will be children's camp, youth camp. I'll bring my kids with us. I and my husband, we make sure that we ride a bike before going up to the mountains so that our feet are really strong because we need to walk for several hours. Planted churches among them. In 2022, Todd, my friend, my best friend Todd, from His Feet International and his beautiful wife, Michelle, went up to the mountains with us. And I intentionally put here the circumcision picture because Todd was actually not only teaching the pastors, but he was also helping with the circumcision. He was holding the flashlight to make sure that we see what we are suturing. So a number of us pastors in Davao City are not only pastors, we've trained ourselves to become primary healthcare workers because that's very needed in the kind of communities that we plant churches. So we start feeding children and did school assistance, and this is among the Bajaus. These are people group not in the mountains, but in the ocean. They are coastal people. They used to be nomadic. They are sea gypsies, and they've started to settle in our in the coastal area of Davao City, and we started to engage them, and are able to plant 2 churches. So let me correct Ross, only 2 churches, not 3 churches. We started to do alternative learning for Bajau adults because for this particular people group, there's less than 1% literacy rate, and we are thinking that for the gospel to really propagate, education is very important, so we invested in that, not only among the children, but also among the adults. We do tribal trainings, pastors' trainings, and at times we bring, during pastors' training, especially during December, we treat our tribal pastors to a treat in the mall. Like, whenever the Lord give us the resources, we bring them to the mall so they can do shopping. That's their once a year time in the mall. And they can buy something for their family, for themselves, and a lot of them also buy something for the church, like a box of Tupperware, a box of plastic where they can put their viands whenever they do a potluck in the mountains. We also started a healthcare clinic, a healthcare program in a Muslim community, and this is where and my husband live. Since I lived here in 2001, and when we got married in 2006, he moved into the community with me, and this is where we started our family, and we still are here to the present time. And this is Anna here. You'll see this is our healthcare facility. We care for our Muslim neighbors, just pretty much everybody in the community. You'll see some pictures there. So there came a point that we can't, it seems like it's a cyclical activity and we're not really moving. And so in 2012, we decided that we felt that the Lord is leading us to start a nonprofit to increase our influence in the communities where the Lord placed us. And so we started FCCDI, the green logo, that's Family Care and Community Development Initiatives. And 6 years into this organization being registered, the city government has recognized the good things that we are doing in the city, and we got an award. Yeah. We were awarded as one of 10 NGOs in Davao City that contributed significantly to the welfare of Daboenos in the city. And so we just really felt good about that, but because we know that that will increase our influence to proclaim the gospel and to influence people to the light, who is Jesus Christ. And the intention of having FCCDI is very much the heartbeat of the Vineyard Church. It's for church planting, it's to establish a church plant or advance a church planting, our church planting activities there. So it's very much the Great Commission. So our programs, projects, activities, and services are focused on education, health, local leaders development, and we're working with the tribe people of Davao City, who are the indigenous people, Muslims, and the urban poor. And so since then, the Lord just really opened more doors for us. We've expanded our partnership with the Department of Education. I just signed a MOA with them before coming here, and now we have two community learning centers where we are hosting education for out-of-school youth, and Department of Education come into our center to teach the students. So we are a school in the community. And I'll just share this because I put it on the slide. So Ross earlier said that I took my master's, and just doing social work. And I think because I love the Lord so much, I love the kingdom, I love to do community work because it exposes people to the gospel, that a lot of people, I think, are seeing what we are doing. And in 2023, during the 75th anniversary jubilee celebration of the Philippine Association of Social Workers in the Philippines, I was awarded as an Outstanding Social Workers in the Philippines. Yay. Thank you, Lord. I think what we have there is a tangible expression of letting our light so shine before men that people will see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. That's Matthew 5:16. I don't know why it's still Isaiah 58:12 there. Thank you. The Lord has been very, very gracious to us and grant us a lot of favor. We have seen a lot of wins in the lives of the people that we serve. We don't hire people to work for us, work with us in our nonprofit or at church. These are people that we've raised from the community. We have a Bajau girl who is now part of the workforce. Second picture there, Romy. He's an Ata tribal guy, and he finished a degree in social work, and he's now working for the government in their locality. And, you know, one of the pastors just came to me and said, "Ate Charlene, it's so amazing because Romy, before, just go to school with you." I also teach social work in the school. And right now, here in our community, he is Sir Romy. Even our barangay captain calls him Sir, and that inspires their tribe. And I think there will be more social workers among this tribe. Makai, Mary Chris, and the other one with the pink gown on, they were children when they came to us from varied, dramatic family history. And just last year, they finished a degree in social work and are now registered social workers. They passed the boards. RJ, we call him our parking manager because when he was so young, you know, in urban situation like where I'm from, he helped cars to park in the malls, outside the malls. So we call him the parking manager. But we sent him to school, and now he's about to finish a degree in education. Anna, the last girl there in the picture is a mother in our feeding program. And we don't only engage with the children, we also engage with the parents. So we do Bible studies with her. She received the Lord. She loved the Lord. She attended a church, and we've exposed her to many different trainings. And now she is overseeing our health program. And over the years, the Lord has entrusted us with so many, many children. Right now, we have around 500 children. We've planted 15 churches, just to correct Ross's number. We've planted 15 churches and are in different localities in our place. So that is pretty much the picture of a Vineyard Pass, a family of leaders in the Philippines, representing 15 churches. So I guess about the Vineyard, just 5 minutes. So I describe myself as I am working like an ant. We just, you know, our team just look down, work, look up to stretch, look down, work, look up to stretch. And we didn't really realize that, we didn't have a lot of association with the Vineyard as a big body. But then in 2013 and 2014, the Vineyard started leader care, and this is the time when I became part of that leader care and felt that, we are part of this global family of Vineyard, And that led to this journey with increased leadership in the Vineyard movement. So the Vineyard started coming to the Philippines, so you're more visible. Ross, you can see Ross here, Todd. This is the national team, and so working with Americans, we are planted out of a Vineyard church, but they are no longer a Vineyard. They are now Heart for the World. But the cool thing about that is that they didn't ask us to be a non-Vineyard. They said, you discern, and you follow your discernment. And we discerned, and we felt that we remain to be a Vineyard, and we are a Vineyard, and we are still friends with Heart for the World. That's with Pastor Dale Walker. Well, I have a sad experience with American missionaries. They helped us with some things, and eventually they ripped us off. They stole something from us, and our team, our board, we prayed, we decided to not make a fight because we don't want to go to the government and make the government do the settlement with both Christian organizations. So we let go of that, ask the Lord to heal our hearts, but I was very angry then. I'm good now. And so I had that experience with American missionaries. So I don't think, Americans, you're not the only ones who get ripped off. We too get ripped off. But this happened during the season when the Vineyard was doing leader care, and I was able to really use this time to process, because there's a lot of contemplatives and just really, spending time with the Lord and discerning, and that has really paved the way to a lot of healing spaces, and that's just really wonderful. I just really want to share this. I had this kind of being projected, I think. Maybe this is just my feeling, but you know, sometimes there's a question, what's going to happen to your ministry if all of your partners stop supporting you? Well, we were able to do a lot because we have some partnerships, but I think we need to reinvestigate this question, even when it sounds really valid, what's going to happen to your ministry if, you know, your partners stop supporting you? I think it came from a point of fear, because you are afraid that, example, me or Filipinos will become dependent on you. But I would like to challenge that perspective. When support is given to us as your partner, you don't feed us. We still live even without your support. So we'll never be dependent on you. Like whenever we receive support to be able to send children to school, that's probably 10%, 20% in order for that child to survive. And that wouldn't be enough to be dependent on funding, to be dependent on partners. To whom are we dependent on? It's only dependent on the Lord So I think God's vision is bigger than each of our churches or nations and cannot be accomplished by a single church or nation. So maybe we can explore other questions. How can we come alongside you to help you better to be effective in your God-given call? How can we journey together and help grow our people? How can I share with you to empower you? These are my questions when we engage with our tribal pastors, when we go to our Bajau community. We don't tell them what's going to happen to you if we stop supporting you, but we go to them, how can we help you? How can we empower you? How can we come alongside you? Because we know that along the process, we get empowered. Along the process, we get enriched. Along the process, we get resourced. And so if I am to answer that question, really, any support that comes to us, any partnership, I believe it's God-given. If it's not God-given, it will not arrive to us. So God is our provider. God is our provider. If it's the Lord's will for that provision to stop, then it's going to stop. But the Lord will have to provide somewhere else. He always does. He always provides. But thinking about the Great Commission being a greater work than each of us can even do, can even accomplish, there's no way we can do it as individual. There's no way we can do it as an individual church, as one country. We need to work hand in hand. We need to work together. We need to help one another. So let's not ask the question, what's going to happen to you if I stop supporting you? Let's ask the question, how can I come alongside you? How can we work together? How can we release the provision of heaven to resource us so we become more effective in the things that we do? The Great Commission is too big a task for a single church or a single nation of churches to accomplish. We need to hold hands. We need each other. We cannot bail out on each other. Please don't bail out. Let's not bail out on each other. Because of the fear of dependence, we cannot accomplish the Great Commission separately. We have to be together. Well, let me just put this out here. In Davao, we need... there's some money that we need. Pray if the Lord touches you to be a part of that. That's our deadline. And on August 19 to 21 is our National Leaders Conference, and we need around $25,000 for that. And I'm going to mention that to all of you because I will not have any chance, I think. We haven't met as a family of vineyards in the Philippines for maybe more than 10 years. So I pray that you'll be part of helping the Filipino vineyards come together. And I have a vision, and we talked about this, and I saw the vision again actually during our first night of worship. I saw the nation Philippines and lights, just, you know, beam of lights flowing, going out into the nations from the Philippines. And I believe that the Philippines, that this conference is going to happen in August, is catalytic to the missions move starting in Asia. And the Lord is going to use the Philippines for that. And I put here His Feet International. Todd, you cannot bail out on us. You have to help us, man. I'm your best friend. Yeah. Because we have lots of tribal leaders. You need to help us. Hey, when we work together, we catch more fish. We only have this one lifetime. Let's give it our best. Yes. So for those who have, I know there are some of you who are here whom the Lord have already touched to be part of the partnership in the Philippines. Go for it. Go for it. Ecclesiastes said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. The one may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Thank you.